everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And this is David Douthat.
Welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to incorporate multiple intelligences into sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for Year C, Ordinary 25, or Proper 20, or Pentecost plus 18. These passages cover a lot of emotional ground: grief, confusion, despair, outrage, hope, and where to place our loyalties. Sounds like the 2016 presidential election, doesn't it? Well, let's go and see how we might approach preaching these texts.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary and use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. If you'd like to, you can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God, so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. So let's get started. The Old Testament lesson for Year C, Ordinary 25, is Jeremiah 8, verse 18 through 9, verse 1. This is a lament over the pain of the people of Judah and Jerusalem as things are coming apart with the Babylonian armies
on the doorstep,
making their way in.
And can hear the horses and Dan.
Yeah. So there's discussion here about the pain that the people are feeling and the pain that the speaker is feeling for them. The cry of my poor people, and the people saying the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. And then, for the hurt of my poor people, I hurt. And the famous line, "Is there no balm in Gilead?" comes from here. So there are a couple exegetical points we want to lift up for you here. The first question is, who is speaking? And in some places it looks like it's the prophet Jeremiah. In some places it seems to be God.
Mm-hmm.
We're of the opinion that most of this is probably actually God.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jeremiah perhaps takes over at chapter 9.
Yeah.
But even if you read on beyond that,
there's a lot of blending.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that Jeremiah is so in touch with God's intention and God's will for the people that it becomes his.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of blurred lines there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Verse 19 is kind of a giveaway. There's in the NRSV, they put something in parenthetically. Why have they provoked me to anger? Because they have it as the prophet saying these things, and then
you have this line
from God.
Oh, I see what you mean. The prophet saying all of that, and then God popping
then
in
God
at verse 19.
And then God pops in parenthetically to say, why have they provoked me to anger? But it seems to work better if it's all God speaking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the balm in Gilead.
It was known for its healing properties. Gilead was, I guess there was a particular kind of tree that produced this particular balm, and there were physicians there. This balm in Gilead and its physicians are well known, but even they can't cure what ails Judah.
Right.
They're beyond that now.
Right. So we've been doing the primary expressed intelligence, and this is the thing that we see, one of the eight intelligences that seems to be most expressed in this passage, the most obvious. And so Molly and I both think that in this passage it's people.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a bit of self thrown in as well, but we're not going to go into too much about that here. We invite you to go to our website, morethanhearing.org, to find out more about our thinking on the primary expressed intelligence. So we have a number of special effects and illustrations for you, of course, which is our reason for being here. For eye, we have a special effect. For body, we have special effect. Music, illustration, nature illustration, both for people and illustration for self. For iSmart, a special effect that we want to offer is to get a sense of the devastation of a city that would provoke the kind of grief. Lament and grief that's going on here. And I had seen before some drone video of the city of Aleppo in Syria, which is just devastated. The city is devastated, and to look at it is devastating.
Especially the before and after pictures. Yeah. I've seen side-by-side pictures, and it's just remarkable. I mean, they're two totally different places.
Yeah.
Same geographic location, but completely different.
So we commend those to you to look at for yourself as preachers, and then if you have the opportunity or the technology to show some of that in your worship by video, then go ahead and do that. It's pretty remarkable.
For Body Smart, we're looking at a special effect, especially this is a lament, and a lament is grief expressed, deep grief expressed. And so maybe a way of getting in touch with that, and this could be kind of painful for some folks. Some folks might be struggling with grief. Explore some postures of suffering and of grief. Put your hands to your face, holding your head, hands over your heart, a self-hug, the rocking back and forth motion, the hands stretched up to the heavens for help. Use your imagination. Maybe just allow your congregation the opportunity to get in touch with some deep grief and then express it in their bodies. Have handkerchiefs and hands ready, because it will probably bring some of that to the surface.
It could. So be gentle.
Yeah.
For Music Smart, some illustrations, we came across a blog post of somebody who was going through grief with a friend who had had tragedy and was having trouble in her prayer life after that, and decided to do it through music and lament, and had a hard time finding modern Christian laments. So she found quite a few secular songs that do that instead. And also,
that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, some of them are Christian music as well, but mostly they're secular.
Well, that's fascinating that the secular world would be better in touch with pain.
Yeah.
Or more honest about being in touch with pain, maybe.
Yeah.
Or more ready to be in touch with it.
And in fact,
what are some of the songs? Give me one.
Several songs by U2, actually.
Well, there you go, because U2 began. They had to make choice to make at the beginning of their career as to whether they're going to go secular or Christian.
Right. Yeah. So there's Sunday Bloody Sunday from U2, and Yahweh 40, and Pride, all from U2. River of Babylon by Sublime, and Trenchtown Rock by Bob Marley. So, I mean, there's about 24 songs here. So I commend those to you as well. We commend those to you. And then there's an article that actually we tucked into SelfSmart, but she refers to another blog post that talks about that very thing. Why aren't Christians more in touch with lament? For Nature Smart, looking at verse 20, the harvest is past, the summer has ended, we are not saved. We have a couple of articles on people who rely on a good harvest for their livelihood. And, you know, much of the world in before industrialization relied very heavily on harvest. And here, even it seems that even if they got a good harvest, then they were going to be in trouble in Judah. But that sense of the harvest being passed and we are in deep trouble comes together here. So take a look at those links.
Well, there's also a sense that God was supposed to deliver on the harvest too.
Yeah.
And God didn't.
God was not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
For People Smart, we have both illustrations and special effects. We're looking at the idea of God being provoked and by the unfaithfulness of the people. We've read several commentaries that likened God's response to Judah as being like a parent watching children making very bad decisions. You know, God can see the consequences coming down the road. God knows that Babylon is right there on the border. You know, Jeremiah even mentions it in the other part of his prophecy that, you know, he can hear the horses snorting in Dan. Mm-hmm. It's that close. So God sees it coming, and God knows what's happening, but the children are still continuing to make the decision they're making, which is going to bring them to destruction. if there's any good news coming out of this election, is that God weeps over us and shares our pain, even when our pain is self-inflicted and at God's expense. This is kind of it's really challenging to hear this and to get back into that, because it really brings into our faces the decisions that we have made and the ways that we have messed it up. Mm-hmm. So for a special effect, reflect on the ministries that your congregation or your denomination does, where people help other people by being present in their suffering. I remember going down to Goshen, Mississippi after Katrina came through as part of our Presbytery's relief response, and we were in partnership with Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. And I didn't feel like I had really done that much. I mean, I went down and I ripped stuff out of people's homes and carted stuff out to the curbs for trash pickup later. But what really seemed to make an impact was the fact that we were there. And then years later, after the flooding in Scranton, that was Hurricane Sandy that came through and made all the rivers in northeast Pennsylvania back up. We went up to a little community called Druria with our big group of our youth ministry conference. And about 125, 130 of us descended on this one little town. And they were just so impressed that we had come. You know, the kids, as we were there, they were kind of doing the kid thing and stuff. But afterwards, we had a chance to meet with some of the volunteers and people that were responsible for cleanup in this community. And they were overcome by the fact that we were there. And the kids were all like, wow, I guess we did do something.
Yeah. Yeah, that was an impressive time for everybody. For Self-Smart, just again, we have the link for that other article, Why Worship Music Should Be Sadder. And I know, it doesn't seem quite right somehow, but I think the article makes a good argument for it. And it talks about how our Christianity needs to be in touch with the realities of our life, including all of our pain, and not just putting a bandage over our pain. And so I encourage you to take a look at that article, and that you'll find that in the show notes at morethanhearing.org.
All right, let's go on. The epistle lesson for Year C, Ordinary 25, is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. This is where the author of 1 Timothy is making the case for Jesus being the mediator, for being the one who is the one to whom we are to give allegiance and our loyalty. And he goes into some reasons why. The author starts out, first of all, as though there's going to be a list. Most commentators that we read argue that, no, there's no list here. And you can see that as you continue reading on. There's no list. There's no second or third. First of all just means this is the most important thing. Mm. So pay attention.
Primarily.
Primarily. Exactly. Right. David and I, we will let you know what we think our primary expressed intelligence is in the show notes. So go looking for those. I think it's people. David thinks it's self. We have some illustrations and special effects. We have an illustration for word, illustration for eye, illustration special effect in body, an illustration in nature, and special effects in people and self. We're going to start out with word. And part of the reason that I came up with this particular illustration in word is because of some of the exegesis that I read. In verse 2, there's the phrase, four kings and all who were in high positions. It's kind of radical for the author of 1 Timothy to be telling the people to pray for kings, because in the context of the first century, the emperor was considered divine and people were to pray to the emperor. And so praying for the emperor brings the emperor down off of his celestial throne and makes him just as human as everybody else.
That's interesting.
Yeah. We have a link to that in our worksheet, so you can take a look at where that came from. But for an illustration, I'm borrowing a little bit from Jimmy Jack McVeigh Roberts, who was our Old Testament professor when we were at Princeton back in the mid to late 80s. And he was talking about praise and how it is used in Psalms and in the Old Testament. And you praise somebody for what they have done. The illustration I have, it might actually even be a special effect, is to take the doxology and reverse that. So instead of saying, praise God, from whom all blessings flow, substitute the name of a king or a president or a pop star for God. And hear how jarring that is. So this would not be unusual for people living under Roman rule in that era. Caesar, the star, the woo person, was supposed to be praised. And so it's really kind of radical for them to say, no, we're going to praise God instead. So reverse it and just see what it sounds like. And then maybe even use it in worship. With some exegesis and reasons for why.
Yeah. Okay. For iSmart, we have a couple ideas for you here, kind of having to do with the spatial aspects of iSmart. In verse 5, it says that Jesus is the one mediator to the one God. So we were thinking about this in terms of Jesus being kind of a bottleneck mm-hmm. for access to God. But another way of that kind of has some negative connotation to be the bottleneck, because everything slows down as the way that we think of it. So perhaps single point of entry might be the better way of thinking of it, which is a phrase that's used in mental health care that's being offered through counties and such, that wherever you go, whichever agency you go to, you fill out a single form that gets you into the help that you need in a variety of places, financial, housing,
so there's not this
medical,
crush of paperwork.
Right. And so that you get full coverage of all your issues,
regardless of where you start.
Right. And that's kind of what I think is happening here for with Jesus as the one point, is that you go to the one place and you get full access to God.
Ooh, cool.
So another visual image for this would be in verse 2, this idea of praying so that we might have peaceable and godly lives. It's creating space, in a sense, mm-hmm. kind of pushing back the powers of the empire. So
give you some breathing room.
Yeah, and I had this sense of a dome over the community. And so thinking about the domed cities that you see in science fiction. And and we've got a link to a few pictures of such things. But if you're at all familiar, and not Stephen King's Under the Dome
that was dumb. Yeah. Okay. For BodySmart, we're looking at an illustration and a special effect, kind of borrowing off the idea of that domed safe space. And we live our lives as disciples. It's kind of like walking on a balance beam or a high wire vis-a-vis the other cultures in the world, with their languages and the backgrounds. And others are also walking that same balance. So when we encounter brothers and sisters from other places, we need to be aware of putting our own expectations and experiences on their shoulders, as well as receiving the same back from them. We greet one another as simple human beings, and then kind of learn things from each other, and then balance our walk together. So a way of expressing that physically would be to have someone come up and walk a line. And then as they're walking a line, put a yoke across their shoulders and put water or a weight or something in one of the buckets on the shoulders and unbalance them and say, these are the expectations, these are the cultural expectations, these are the norms of other people pushing you out of whack. And so what can you do to rebalance it? Mm. And just allow people to be out of balance for a little bit and see how that experience, and then maybe say, this is what we do to other cultures when we enter, and say, this is the only way to do this.
Oh, yeah. Cool. For NatureSmart, a natural approach to the domed city would be a privacy hedge. So, again, thinking about that same idea of clearing out space and pushing back on the powers that be and the other forces of culture. Mm-hmm. So creating
a boundary.
A boundary, yes, a hedge, mm-hmm. literally. Mm-hmm. To surround yourself. And so prayer as a privacy hedge.
Cool. For PeopleSmart, here's a special effect. Ask your congregation, how do you react to the thought of praying for political adversaries? And what sort of prayers do you think the author of this passage would encourage you to pray for political adversaries? And what sort of prayers does the Holy Spirit want to pray through you for them? Because the Holy Spirit is praying for your political adversaries.
Yeah.
I know. Really? Really?
For self-smart, putting that into application for special effect, I invite your congregation to commit to pray for the president, for the Congress, and for both or all.
There are four, at least.
All the presidential candidates, at least through the election. And, of course, this is for our U.S. listeners. For everybody else, pray for your own
leaders.
Government, your own leaders. And if you're facing elections, then for all the candidates. Pray for their well-being as well as that of the nation and your own. And pray about what it would be to be living a peaceable and godly life. And make that your focus for the week. Okay, let's go on. The gospel lesson for Year C, Ordinary 25, is Luke 16, verses 1 through 13. This is the parable of the unrighteous manager or unrighteous steward, where a rich man has a manager who gets called in to give account because there are charges against him that he's been squandering things, and the manager then calls in the man's debtors and gives them big discounts on their bills. And the rich man commends this shrewd behavior, which throws all the preachers off their game. So, and then it's followed by some wisdom about not being able to serve two masters and about being faithful in a little and faithful in much.
Mm-hmm.
So, it looks like the number of folks that are following Jesus is kind of falling off at this point, if you trace through Luke.
Go back and look through Luke.
So he's down to his disciples, or at least at this point he's just talking to the disciples and not to the crowds.
Preachers generally tend, you know, being thrown off by this parable, we generally tend to look for some sort of saving grace, and so we land on verse 4. I've decided what to do. It's a quick, decisive action in the face of crisis. This is not an invalid point. I mean, that's
right.
Exactly what has happened, what the steward has done, but it's not the whole picture.
Right, because the point seems to be more in verse 9, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth. That they may welcome you into the eternal homes, which is just a bizarre statement. But it seems to make a little bit more sense depending on who the debtors are.
Right.
And we'll talk about that a little bit more
right.
Further down the road.
I think the primary expressed intelligence is self.
And I think it's people. And we'll discuss that in the show notes, so you can go to morethanhearing.org and have a look at what our thoughts are for that. So we have for you here a WordSmart illustration, iSmart illustration and special effect, MathSmart illustration, BodySmart both, PeopleSmart both, and SelfSmart both.
Why don't you begin with Word?
I will. For Word, one of the things that stuck out for me here is this idea of using the rich man's money for the benefit of somebody else. And there, we made reference to a story a couple of weeks ago of Saint Thomas, the apostle, who was sent by Jesus to India, and he ends up in the hire of King Gundafar, who hires him to build a palace for him. And Thomas takes all the money that he's given to build the palace and gives it to the poor. And so the king is ready to kill him. And then the king's brother is so upset about the whole thing that he has a heart attack and dies. And while he's in heaven, he sees this beautiful palace and asks, "Who can I live there?" And said, "No, that's taken. That's for your brother." And this is the one that Thomas has been building. And so the brother says, "Oh, I have to go back and buy it from him." And so he returns, he gets to come back to life. And he says to his brother, "You have this beautiful place and I want to buy it from you." And he realizes, and the king realizes what Thomas has done.
This is like the rich man and Lazarus.
It's kind of like that too.
Very much like it.
So, very interesting story. The Gospel, or the Acts of Thomas, is where that comes from.
Cool.
And so, kind of a parallel story. So, anyway, there's that.
For iSmart, we have both illustration and a special effect. The illustration comes from the phrase, he summoned him. The steward was summoned into the presence of the master. And to me, that made me think of the times when you're called into the office at work or at school, or you're being told by a significant other, we need to talk. Or having both mom and dad, or mom or dad, or both come to your room, or being called by all three names. I had a cousin who I was sure his last name was Alan, and when mom told me one time what his real last name was, I was so confused because I heard Alan all the time. That just made no sense. We have a special effect of a Star Trek original series episode where you can see illustrated on a Harcourt Mudd's face what it's like to be summoned and called out on the carpet. So go take a look at that.
For MathSmart, taking a look at that idea of the ethical use of money here. So it's kind of mathy, logical, sort of, but ethical.
Well, so, it's how you think about it.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's about what seems to be happening is that the manager is easing the burdens of the debtors, and that is what seems to be, for Jesus anyway, the right use of unrighteous mammon rather mm-hmm. than to embiggen the rich. So so that's a little backwards logic about money. And there's also some lesser to greater logic, which we've talked about previously.
It seems to just pop up everywhere.
Yeah, if you're faithful in a little, you'll be faithful in much.
Mm-hmm. For Body Smart, we have an illustration and a special effect. The illustration is the steward has figured out, hey, if I scratch other people's backs, they'll scratch mine. So it's kind of almost a literally, I'll buy your lunch next time you get mine. Sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And for a body, think about what it's like to play badminton at a picnic. You know, badminton competitively is, you know, zing that sucker past for the point. But at a picnic, it's more just, let's just keep this in the air. And that's kind of, in a body, that's sort of the feeling of this, what the steward is trying to do. Let's just keep this in the air. Let's just keep this in the air. Mm. We need to keep this reciprocal relationship going.
Cool. For People Smart, we're looking at verse 8, which is that the master commends the unrighteous manager, which is sort of like acknowledging when the rival team makes a good play against your team. It's like, well, you know, I don't like them, but even so, that was a good play. You got to say that was a good play. Then we also have a link for some tips and questions about working two jobs, or
which seems to be a reality for a lot of people these days, particularly millennials.
How to work for two masters, and for special effect, we use drama as an expression of People Smart, and so we have a reader's theater of this passage that we've put together for you, and that'll be you can find the link in the show notes at morethanhearing.org.
And then finally for SelfSmart, we have some really interesting thing. We have an illustration. If you go to our worksheet, you can see the story about a woman named Sarah Dillon Baker tells about doing a similar thing to a teacher inspired by this parable. It's really interesting.
Very interesting.
And she brings forward the idea of forgiveness that happens in this story. I'll just quote what she writes. The steward forgives debts. He forgives. He forgives things that he has no right to forgive. He forgives for all the wrong reasons, for personal gain, and to compensate for past misconduct. So maybe a special effect you can use is to ask your congregation, who do you forgive that puts you in God's sphere of grace? And in what ways have you forgiven, which has made everyone involved in a situation better human beings? It's really interesting. Go look at the story. That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at our Facebook page, facebook.com/morethanhearing, or give us a tweet at morethanhearing, or you can email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you try any of these suggestions, or maybe you get an idea that you like even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would really love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship preparation.
Be sure to look for the show notes, links, and resources on our website. We publish our worksheets on each text so that you can see some of our ideas that didn't make it into the podcast. They could be helpful and give you a spark. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes, or point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can find us on the iTunes store too, and you can subscribe there directly. If you like the show, you can help us by writing a review at iTunes, as it helps other people find us more easily, and also by sharing the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another installment next week, so in the meantime, stay subscribed
and be smart.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.